Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, tonight we come before you. We need the cleansing of your victorious blood. Lord, we need the cleansing of your victorious blood for your coming. We prepare ourselves to live the life of the virgin, to be watchful in life. Lord, we need to be faithful and prudent servants to serve you in the light of your coming. May you bring us into the sensation of your coming. May we be watchful and prepared. We look to your mercy. In your words, Lord, prepare us. We need to make ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. In the previous messages, we saw that first, we need to love the Lord's appearing and not loving the present age. Second, we need to grow in life unto maturity. Number three, we need to give heed to the prophetic word as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. Tonight, we come to message four, the fourth aspect, which is that we need to be a faithful and prudent slave. This is how we make ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. We believers in Christ all need to have a solemn realization. According to Matthew chapter 25, we believers have a twofold status. In life, we are virgins living for Him. In service, in the aspect of work, we have been purchased by Him to serve Him as slaves. On the one hand, we are virgins. On the other hand, we are slaves. As virgins, this is the relationship in life with the Lord. In this aspect, we need to be watchful. We need to be filled with Him. That is in our spirit. We need to be filled in our spirit by His Spirit. Then, in our soul, we also need to be transformed unto maturity, so that we may be ready to be raptured. As slaves, this speaks of the serving aspect. That is our relationship with Him in service. In this aspect, we need to be faithful and prudent so that we may carry out the Lord's commission and we may use the talents given to us by the Lord so that in His coming, at His coming, we may gain the reward. Every believer that has been regenerated by the Lord, we all need to care for these two aspects. As virgins, we are waiting for the coming of our bridegroom. We need to be watchful in life. As slaves, we need to carry out the Lord's commission and use the talents given to us by the Lord. We need to be faithful and prudent in doing this. At the end of the entire Bible, the Bible concludes with a desire for the Lord's coming, expressed as a prayer in Revelation 22, verse 20. It says, come, Lord Jesus. This is the Apostle John's prayer. This is also Apostle John's response to the Lord's word. This is the last prayer in the Bible. In the apostles' heart, they realize that the Lord is coming soon. They are convinced about this. That's why in their living, they also live a life of waiting for the Lord's coming. In the church history, Sister Emmy Barber was such a pattern. She lived on the earth in a way that was not being bound by anything other than the Lord. She always waited for the Lord's coming. The Lord's servant, our brother Watchman Nee, was helped by Sister Emmy Barber and perfected by her. Every day, he also lived such a life, waiting for the Lord's coming. In his hymn, 468 in Chinese, it says, "Today I consider everything in the light of the Lord's coming. This does not have English translation. May my life and service will be able to stand the fire at the judgment seat." So may we learn from our brother's pattern that we do not emphasize doctrines, but learn to have the longing of our brother. We need to wait for the Lord's coming, long for the Lord's coming. And while we are waiting, we can live such a watchful life. This is what we are lacking today in the Lord's recovery. This is also what we need. As we are waiting for the Lord's coming, we should not only have a kind of attitude waiting for the Lord's coming, but even more, we need to live a life that is daily being revived and overcoming, a life of the virgin, being watchful in life. And we also need to participate in service, serving as slaves, being faithful and prudent, waiting for the Master's coming. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, the Lord spoke to the church in Philadelphia. The Lord said, "I come quickly." In the footnotes of this verse, it says, in this epistle, the Lord brings the church in his recovery into the sensation of his coming because she loves him. Brothers and sisters, we love the Lord. We yearn for his coming. As such, because of this, we should live a life we watchful in life. We need to live a life that is faithful and prudent. We need to give food to his household at the appointed time for the building of the church, for the preparation of the bride, to bring in his coming. In this message, we have two Roman numerals. These two Roman numerals are based on Matthew 24, verses 45 to 51. Here we have two sections of verses. First, from 45 to 47, this is Roman numeral 1. Then, Roman numeral 2, we have section 2, from verses 48 to 51. This is Roman numeral 2. In this message, we will focus on this matter of being a faithful and prudent slave to serve the Lord. Here, we are not talking about service in a general way. We are talking very specifically about how our service can be linked to the Lord's second coming. How we can serve with the Lord's coming in view. In Revelation 19, it says, "The marriage of the Lamb has come. The bride has made herself ready." For the Lord's coming, the bride needs to be prepared. Our service today should be for the Lord's coming. Our service today should take the Lord's coming as the goal, we should be here dispensing Christ, building up the church as the body of Christ, so that the bride can be prepared, so that our Lord can return. In our room number one, it says, who then is the faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Truly I say to you that he will set him over all his possessions. In this passage, we need to pay attention to three crucial points. Number one, it is concerning the Lord's commission. Second, it is concerning the Lord's requirement. Number three, it is concerning the Lord's reward. In the verse, we saw that, then who is the faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food? The master has set over his household. This is the Lord's commission. And then it says, to give them food at the proper time. This is the Lord's requirement. Then it says, blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Here, blessed refers to the manifestation of the kingdom, the realization of the kingdom, that we will have the ruling authority in the coming kingdom. This is the reward of the Lord. So in Matthew 24, 45 to 47, in this passage, we saw clearly these three things. We saw that we need to be faithful in the Lord's commission, serving according to the Lord's commission, give food to his household, so that we in the coming kingdom may gain Christ as our reward. Particularly in this passage, we should pay attention to the word household and give them food. These two phrases imply God's economy and God's dispensing. Household and God's economy and God's administration are all related. Dispensing, give them food, are all related. The divine dispensing is for the accomplishment of God's economy. But this need to be carried out in the house of God by the many stewards who can share the stewardship of grace to give people food, give his household food at the proper time. So these two phrases are related to God's economy and God's dispensing. This is Roman numeral 1, point A and point B. We need to focus on this. Point A, God's economy in faith is his household economy, his household administration, which is to dispense himself in Christ into his chosen people, that he may have a house to express himself, which house is the church, the body of Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, Apostle Paul speaks of God's economy, which is in faith. The word economy in Greek means God's household administration, his household economy. God in the universe, his heart desire, his deep longing is that he will gain a household. In this household, there are many members to be his enlargement, to be his expression. For this household, he needs an administration. He needs a management in order to make sure that all the members of this household can receive the proper care. And especially in the matter of food, no one should be in hunger. No one should be dying. Every family member should be richly supplied by the nourishment of the food to become God's expression. The Apostle Paul, his ministry is focused on God's economy. Dear brothers and sisters, we as members of the body of Christ here, our living, our service should all be linked to God's economy. We should be such faithful and prudent slaves, able to give food to God's household. Point B, the faithful and prudent slave is a steward in God's house, a household administrator, dispensing Christ as food to his believers. In 1 Corinthians 9:17, it says, if I do this out of my own will, I have a reward. Paul says, but if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a stewardship. This word stewardship in the original Greek is the same word as economy in Greek. On God's side, it is God's household administration, God's household economy. It is his economy. On our side, it is stewardship. It is a stewardship to participate in God's dispensing plan. Apostle Paul fully realized that he was not just a gospel preacher. He was even more someone appointed by God to be in God's household to share in the stewardship of grace. Just as Joseph in the Old Testament, as he was a household manager at one point, steward at one point, in God, in his universe, there is a divine family. He also had much divine riches. On God's side, there's no shortage. But here, God has a need. He needs people to rise up, to dispense all this rich food, rich divine riches to his family. So according to the New Testament, we saw that God called his believers in the New Testament to be slaves, to serve the Lord, so that they can be faithful and prudent slaves, that they can be channels of life. They can give his household food at the proper time. Today, in the Lord's recovery, the Lord needs to recover the vision of his eternal economy. The Lord's recovery needs to recover every one of us as a member of the body of Christ to participate in the stewardship of grace, that we can all be, can be today's Joseph, that we all can dispense food, give them food, give Christ as food into God's household. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, you have heard the stewardship which was given to me for you, the stewardship of the grace of God. This was to me for you. That is for the church. God gave Paul this grace, this stewardship of grace, in order to dispense Christ as food into the believers, New Testament believers. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, we should also minister among ourselves as good stewards of the varied grace of God. When we enjoy the different aspects of grace, the grace of God, this is not just for our own enjoyment. This is even more for the purpose of making us the stewards so that we can dispense the rich grace of God into God's household. Point one, on the B says, faithfulness is shown toward the Lord, whereas prudence is exercised toward the believers. 1 Corinthians 4:2, Paul says, here, furthermore, it is sought in stewards that one be found faithful. In 1 Corinthians 7:25, Paul says, now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, but I give my opinion as one who has been shown mercy by the Lord to be faithful. We need the Lord's mercy to be faithful. According to our natural constitution, we cannot be faithful. But when we open to the Lord, when we contact Him, when the Lord dispenses His attributes of faithfulness into us, then we can become the faithful stewards serving in God's household. We can be faithful. So here says, prudence is exercised toward the believers. In 2 Chronicles 1:10, Brother Witness Lee once testified that he used this verse, 2 Chronicles 1:10, to pray to the Lord. This verse is Solomon's prayer to God. He said, now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before these people. For who can judge these great people of yours? This verse means that we need to enjoy Christ as all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, so that Christ could dispense Himself into us, so that we can share Him, dispense Him as the life-giving Spirit into other believers. How can we be in the church life contacting people of all ages? We need Christ as our wisdom. We need to be one with Christ so that we can dispense Christ into others. Point two, in the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens, the Lord will set the faithful slaves over all his possessions. This will be a reward to his slave. In Matthew 25, verse 21 and 23, it says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Such a word. Oh, watch how solemn this is. This is a solemn warning to us. We should be faithful slaves so that when the Lord comes, He can say to us, well done, good and faithful slave. So we can participate in the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens. We can enter into the joy of our master. Now we come to point C. Let's read point C. Give them food refers to ministering the word of God and Christ as the life supply to the believers in the church. Christ as the life-giving spirit is our food embodied and realized in the word of life. This speaks of give food to people. This refers to our ministering the word of God and Christ as the life supply to the believers in the church. Christ as a life-giving spirit is our food, embodied and realized in the word of life. Underneath this, we have six subpoints. Show us the six practical ways. These six ways are great help to us. We should see how we can be such a faithful and prudent slave, able to give food to people. Number one, in order to enjoy the Lord as our spiritual food so that we can feed others, we need to receive His word by means of all prayer. In order to feed others, we ourselves first need to have food. If we don't have food, how can we give food to others? So we need to enjoy the Lord as our spiritual food this requires us to what? To all kind, by means of all prayer and by musing on His word, speaking His word aloud with much reconsideration. This is the way we should receive His word. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, we should receive the word of God by means of all prayer and petition. Receive the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, by means of all prayer and petition. And which Spirit is the word of God. Prayer reading should not just be a formality, should not just be a mechanical process. It should be by the exercising of our spirit to pray, read God's word, to receive God's word into us, to be our inner constitution. Here it says, not only by means of our prayer, but also by musing on His word. That is to reconsider the Lord's word repeatedly. In Psalm 119, verse 15, says, I will muse upon your precepts and regard your ways. Here is a footnote. The footnote one says, this word, muse, is rich in meaning. The Hebrew word for muse implies to worship, to converse with oneself, and to speak aloud. To muse on the Lord is to taste and enjoy it through careful considering. Prayers, speaking to oneself and praising the Lord may also be included in musing on the word. To muse on the word of God is to enjoy His word as His breath, and thus to be infused with God, to breathe God in, and to receive spiritual nourishment. We not only should pray, read God's word, we should also muse on the Lord's word. Musing on the word is even more inclusive than prayer reading. It's even more inclusive in meaning, because it includes prayer, it includes worship, it includes enjoying, it includes conversing, it even includes lifting up our hands to receive God's word. In Psalm 119, verse 48, it says, I will lift up my hand to your commandments, which I love, and I will muse upon your statutes. We should lift up our hands, that is, to receive God's word warmly and gladly, and say amen to it. Oh, say amen. We need to receive God's word warmly and gladly, and say amen to it. Not only so, we should pray, read, we should muse, and we should also speak God's words. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1, there the Lord said to Ezekiel, you should eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. Then in verse 3, the Lord said to Ezekiel, He said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your inward parts with this scroll that I'm giving you. And I ate it, and it was like honey in my mouth in its sweetness. This is same with us. When we enjoy the Lord's word becomes sweet like honey in our mouth. Then we should, what? We should go and speak the Lord's word. This is how we enjoy the Lord's word as our spiritual supply, so that we can feed others. This is the way to feed others. Number two, we need to continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. Here, prayer is before the ministry of the word. Before we can minister the word to supply Christ to feed others, before that, we need to pray. Without prayer, our ministry of the word cannot be living, cannot have impact. In the early days, the apostles, they focused on continuing steadfastly in prayer and the ministry of the word. So their word was full of impact, full of power, full of life supply. Point three, we need to prophesy to build up the church, speaking what we see with the living words of this life under the instant and fresh inspiration, anointing, and enlightenment of the Holy Spirit through the exercise of our spirit. We need to pay much attention to the matter of prophesying. We need to labor on Christ. Before we come to the meeting, we should prepare something from the Lord so that we can minister Christ to others in the meeting. This is too great a matter. In Matthew 16 and 18, the Lord says, I will build my church upon this rock. This is the greatest prophecy in the whole Bible. After the Lord said this, he went to be crucified and resurrected, become the life-giving spirit, to come into us. Then in 1 Corinthians 14, 4 says, he who prophesies builds up the church. So when we prophesy, the Lord can build up the church through us for the bride to be prepared to bring in the Lord's coming. Prophesying is too crucial, too great a matter. But concerning the constituents of prophecy, first, we need, in order to prophesy, number one, we need to have a vision. We need to see. Acts chapter 4:20 says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. What we speak should be what we have seen. Number two, in order to prophesy, we need to have the Lord's word in order to communicate what we have seen. Number three, we also need the Holy Spirit, the instant and fresh inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the anointing and enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. All this put together, and we also need to access our spirit so that not only we have seen something, not only we have the word to communicate, and when we exercise our spirit, then we can have the instant and fresh inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, so we can minister the word of life, and we can speak what we have seen. Number four, we need to pray ourselves into God to receive the life-giving spirit as our supply, our spiritual food, to feed ourselves and those under our care. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13, here the Lord's disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. In teaching them how to pray, after that, the Lord told a parable. Here is a person, his friend came to him from a journey, but because he had nothing to give him, so he went to another friend to ask for food. He wanted to borrow 3 loaves of bread, and because of his insistence, his friend got up from the bed, even at midnight, to give him what he needs. Then verse 11 to 13, he says, but what father among you, whose son shall ask for a fish, will instead of fish hang him a snake? Or if he shall also ask for an egg, will hang him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father who is from heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here, the Holy Spirit. Here we have the bread, the fish, the eggs. They are all symbolized by the Spirit. They all symbolize the unsearchable riches of Christ in the life-giving Spirit. When we pray in the proper way, when we pray ourselves into God, we can receive the unsearchable riches of Christ. Realize in the life-giving Spirit, we will have fish, we will have eggs, we will have bread. This symbolizes the riches in the earth, the riches in the air, and the riches in the sea. We will have all these riches. We can even, at a midnight, at the most urgent, emergent time, we can still meet people's need. We need to have this kind of prayer. Number five, we need to be life-giving askers. channels of the life-giving spirit who can give life to others. 1 John 5:16 says, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin not unto death, he shall ask and he will give life to him. To those sinning not unto death. Here we need to pay attention that ask and give. These are three crucial words. When we see some negative situation, some weaknesses in the church, we should not complain. Rather, we should be life asker. Through our asking, then the Lord can give life through us to others. Point six, we need to be sons of fresh oil. Those who are continually being filled with a fresh, present, and consummated spirit as the oil of gladness to flow out the spirit into the lampstand for its shining testimony, the testimony of Jesus. Point A, day by day, we need to pay the price to gain more of God as the golden oil in his divine nature so that we can become a pure golden lampstand for the building of the golden New Jerusalem. Point B, as we apply this matter to our experience today, we see that the spirit who flows out of us is God, and God is gold. Thus, when we minister Christ to others, supplying them with oil, we are actually supplying them with God. God is flowing out from us into them. May we all be filled with God so we can flow out God as food to others. Thank the Lord. This weekend, he's speaking to us again. What's on his heart? He said, I come quickly. May these words will produce a response in us, a fervent response in us. May we all say, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. This message is based on Matthew 24, speaks of this the Lord as the master. Actually, this is the Lord that we love, that's spoken of in the first message. We all love his appearing. This Lord that we love, and this Lord spoken in message 2 this morning, the one waiting patiently, the farmer, is the same Lord. And it's also the same Lord in message 3, that today by paying attention to the prophetic word, and that in this word we will meet the Lord as the morning star in our heart. This is the same Lord, this one, this all-inclusive Christ, he is also our master. He gave his life for us, shed his blood, paid a great price to purchase us, redeem us, so that we can be his slaves. At the same time, he regenerated us by his life so that we can have his life and nature to be his household. Even more, by his life, he's transforming us so that we can be built up together to be his organic body. And in this process, he is also using the word of life, the water of the water in the word. He's beautifying us, sanctifying us, so that we can be the bride, that he can come back to marry. So through these messages, we saw the Lord's different status in his coming. He is coming with this different status, and he also needs our response to prepare ourselves so that we not only know about his coming, but even we will love his coming, long for his coming, but even more, we can have an attitude, live a kind of life that will hasten his return. May we all be such faithful and prudent slaves. When our Lord comes, masters come, what will he find us doing? He should find us giving food to his household. You know, this food is just he himself. The all-inclusive riches of Christ as the life-giving spirit realize in the word of life, embodying the word of life, is this food. Every day we need to ask Him to give us food so that we can have food to give to His household. When the Master comes, when He found us doing this, we will be blessed. Oh, brothers and sisters, we should remind one another. We should encourage one another. We should bless one another. We want to gain this blessing. When the Master comes, He should find us being faithful and prudent slaves, day by day, day in and day out, giving food to His household at the proper time. If so, we are blessed. Now we come to room number two. This is the second section of the same passage. This is with a warning. Here, we may be faithful and prudent, but there is a warning here. There is a risk. There's a danger. We may become evil slaves. What's the difference between the faithful and prudent slave and the evil slave? Room number two shows us. Is Matthew 24, 48 to 51. Here, there are some crucial points. Let us read Romans 2 together. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master delays and begins to beat his fellow slave and eats and drinks with the drunken, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour which he does not know and will cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. In that place, they will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Here are some crucial points. The characteristics of the evil slaves is that they say in their heart, in his heart, my master delays. Because he thinks this way in his heart, he has such an attitude. So what did he do? What did he do? Outwardly, number one, he beat his fellow slaves. Number two, he got drunk. He got drunk with a drunken. What's the result? Then on a day that he does not expect, that the master can't come and cut him asunder and appoint him his portion and cast him into the outer place to be weeping and gnashing. So point A, show us the attitude of the evil slave, and point B and C, show us his actions, his outward actions. So A, show us the inward attitude. B and C, show us the outward action, beating and drinking. And then D, show us the miserable result as the solemn warning to us. Let's follow this outline. Point A. To say in our heart that our master delays, think the Bible tell us that the Lord come quickly? Revelation, at the end of the book of Revelation, our brothers have mentioned, chapter 22, the Lord says, three times, I come quickly, three times. But why here the slave says, my master delay? Is the Lord coming quickly or is he delaying? It depends on us. It depends on whether or not we are evil slaves. Whether or not we are evil slaves. Revelation 22, to the mature apostle John, who is mature in life, when he heard the Lord say, I come quickly, he says, amen, come Lord Jesus. Our brother had mentioned in Song of Songs, the Shulamite, when she was mature in life, this was her response. Oh, my beloved, may you quickly come. That's the response. But the evil slave is the opposite, the opposite. So is the Lord coming quickly or is he delaying? On the one hand, it depends on us. To a diligent, hardworking student, to him, he's waiting. He hopes that the exam will come quickly because the exam will prove he's hardworking. He will gain a reward. To the lazy ones, the slothful one, They don't want the exam to come quickly. They want it to delay. They think that it will delay. They think, oh, the exam will delay. Here it says, to say in our heart that our master delay is to love the present evil age and not to love the Lord's appearing. So whether the Lord come quickly or not shows whether or not you love him, or you are loving the evil present age, the present evil age. I think of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he said we should love the Lord. He said if anyone does not love the Lord, he is cursed. He should be accursed. What does he say then? He said the Lord comes. The Lord comes. There can be, this word can be translated two ways. One way is the Lord comes. This is our required version. Apostle Paul said, you should love the Lord. If you do not love the Lord, you should be accursed. You should be warned. The Lord come. You should be warned. On the other hand, it can be translated, may the Lord come. If you love the Lord, you are blessed. You surely will have a longing in you. Say, Lord, may you come quickly. So, when we read these messages, the brothers have reminded us again and again, we are not studying this out of curiosity to study some prophecies or some interpretations, but our studying of this word is to, for us to have the proper attitude toward the Lord's coming. I would like to read a passage from Collected Works of Watchman Nee, volume 60, chapter 50. This is from the cooling training, messages from the cooling training. He said we need to see the Lord's coming. We need to have the attitude of waiting for the Lord's coming. It is not just to hear about the messages, to know about the doctrines. That's not enough. By listening to this, it is for us to be those who wait for the Lord's coming. He gave an example. He said, suppose your master gave you a letter that he's coming back on July 1st. What would you do? Would you merely mark red on the letter and file it away? File it away? Put it aside? Would you do that? Of course not. If your master told you he's coming on July 1st, you will prepare for his return. So, Father Nee said, while studying of a prophecy about the Lord's coming is not out of curiosity, we should have a life awaiting the Lord's coming. This should be our attitude. What is to wait for the Lord's coming? It means that although you are there, although you are still doing all kinds of things on the earth, but your eyes are fixed on the Lord's coming. You know when the Lord comes, what he will ask you, what commandments he has given you, you should wait for his coming as a slave, wait for the master. So tonight as we read Matthew 24, may we have such an attitude. May our eyes look up to him, fix on his coming. May we know that when he comes, what he will ask us, what expectation, what requirement he has. Father Nee says, believing the Lord's coming, studying about his coming is one thing, but waiting for his coming is quite another. It's quite another. First Thessalonians speak about the new believers. They all testify how they have turned away from idols to God. For what? To await for the Lord's coming, for his son coming from heavens. So they show us that as soon as someone believes in the Lord, he should have the proper attitude toward the Lord's coming. He should have a different attitude. They should not continue to build up an enterprise on the earth. They should wait for the Lord's coming from heaven. Their common will is in heaven, not on the earth. Such a waiting should be a goal for a Christian life. Such kind of waiting should change his entire living and ways. Oh, may the Lord have mercy on us, that through this weekend's conference, we have heard about the Lord's coming. May our life, all our ways, have a change. Let's continue with the outline. Point A, point one, the Greek word for coming is parousia, which means presence. It's not just coming, but it means presence. To love the Lord's appearing, his coming, we must love his appearing. We're not just loving his future coming, we must be those who treasure his today's presence, his present presence. Oh, brothers and sisters, you need to circle the word today or presence. today, on the one hand, we are waiting for that day. He is coming. We are waiting for that presence on that day. But today, we need to be those who treasure his presence today. Today. Our brothers have repeatedly in the previous messages about Sister Emmy Barber. She has helped Brother Nee greatly. In that message that I just read to you, Brother Nee also mentioned Sister Emmy Barber. In that year, at the New Year Eve, Emmy Barber prayed, Lord, if you want to come, there is still time for you to come this year. Why wait until next year? Emmy Barber prayed. Then Emmy Barber wrote a hymn to and show it to Brother Nee. Brother Nee did not understand a few lines in this hymn. This hymn is in our hymn book, English 710. In stanza 2, it says, and just beyond the bend, hidden perchance to meet us before the day is done. I think these are the lines that Brother Nee didn't understand. What does this mean? And Emmy Barber said, well, you don't understand. Let me show you. So they went out and took a walk. And when they were at a corner, then Miss Barber told Brother Nee, the Lord's coming is closer and closer. Maybe when we turn this corner, we will see the Lord. Maybe we'll meet the Lord. Emmy Barber, she was helped by Penton and all other Bible teachers. She really know the biblical prophecy. This was shared before 1930 because Emmy Barber died in 1930s. At that time, many signs have not been fulfilled yet. Many signs about the Lord's coming. But she said, Lord, if you want to come today, there's still time. You don't have to wait until next year. This is the person who's waiting for the Lord. They don't just look at our signs, but inwardly, they really hope that the Lord, they really long for the Lord's presence. So, watch me testify for Sister Barbara that she not only looked for the future coming, the future parousia, but because of the future parousia, she herself daily lived in the Lord's presence. But then he even testified that one time when he went to Sister Barber for help, even before meeting her, even sitting in her living room, just waiting for her, even before Miss Barber came, he already felt the Lord's presence deeply, just sitting in the living room. Oh, brothers and sisters, may we not be the evil slaves. Say, oh, my master delay. May we be those who daily long for his parousia. Not just that day, not just a future day, not just a distant day, but today. Today, like Emmy Barber. If you want to come, Lord, why not today? Why not today? Because of this, she was one who lived in the Lord's presence. And those who contact her can feel the Lord's presence, can sense the sweetness of the Lord's presence. This is to be faithful and prudent slave. May we love the Lord's appearing, love the Lord's presence, enjoy the Lord's fresh presence every day. Even in our contact with anybody, we can bring the Lord's presence to them. This is to give food at the proper time. Point two, as long as we have today, we should love the Lord and his appearing, awaiting his coming and taking his coming as a warning, encouragement, and incentive. May the Lord's coming to us, it will always be a warning. At the same time, it should be encouragement and incentive. Here the verse is 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 8. I would like to read these verses with you. From verse 1, Paul says that he says, I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Here, in this word, there is warning. In this word, there is encouragement and incentive. Because he said, he speak of the Lord's appearing and his kingdom. He's spoke of the Lord as one who is coming to judge the living and the dead. So the Lord's appearing with his judgment should be always a warning to us. But with his appearing and his kingdom, that is his ruling in his coming kingdom, that is he will reign with those overcoming ones, the faithful ones, to reign together as king. This should be encouragement and an incentive to us. Amen. This word, Paul, what was the Lord's exhortation given to Paul? Verse 2, proclaim the word. This is the exhortation. Be ready in season and out of season. Of course, we know to proclaim the word is not go out to the podium to give a message. No, it's just the word. Proclaim the word. It's just to speak the Lord's word. Dispense the Lord's word. That is to give food to people at the proper time. This is what, on the one hand, the Lord's coming is a warning to us. On the other hand, it's an incentive to us. And this is the exhortation we should receive. Whether in season, out of season, we should proclaim the word. If people welcome us, that is in season. If they reject us, that is out of season. Brothers, sisters, we need to give food at the proper time. In our church life, are we those who give food? Do we preach the gospel at the proper time? Do we have home meeting at the do we have group meeting at the proper time? Do we have proper sign meeting at the proper time? All these opportunities for us to give food, those of us who have been exercised, we can sense oftentimes we are frustrated, whether in season or out of, oftentimes it is out of season for us. In our feeding, oftentimes it is out of season. You know, if we want to meet with someone in the homes to have home meeting, to feed others, it's not easy. Oh, they may give you a rain check. They may not show up. But the Lord exhorts us, Paul exhorts us, whether in season or out of season, proclaim the word, give food. This is how we are preparing, how we prepare ourselves. We need to be prepared. May we always have the word ready, have food ready in our mouth, in our hands. You know, we speak of faithful. To be faithful is toward the Lord's commission. And the prudent is toward people, toward the believers. We need to be prudent. We need to know their real need. What's people's real need? Paul, in this passage, later he talked about what is out of season. Because at the time, people would not tolerate a healthy teaching. They will heat up for themselves, teachers, having itching ears, they turn away to miss. This ministry only ministers healthy food. So our give food to people is to give the healthy food, healthy teaching. But today, among Christians, they are full of those, you know, the words that tickle their ears. So we want to dispense the healthy words. Oftentimes we find ourselves out of season. But Paul said, this is the dark evil age. This is the last time, the last days, people will have itching ears. They want to hear the myths and unhealthy things. We need to be prudent. We shouldn't follow people's ears. We should know people's real need and minister accordingly. We should also know what's the Lord's commission to us. Paul said, we should be sober in all things, suffer evil, do the work of evangelists, fully accomplish our ministry. This is how we live in the Lord's, in the light of Lord's coming. The warning, the encouragement, the incentive we receive from the Lord. Amen. Now we come to point three. We need to watch and be ready for his coming. Number one, we need to watch. Number two, we need to be ready. Again, what should we do? Number one, we need to watch. Number two, we need to be ready. To watch mainly concerns is in opposition to sleepiness, being sleeping, being stupefied. Today, God's enemy, his word, is just to stupefy us, cause us to be sleeping, to be paralyzed. Brother Lee said, today, among Christians, the teaching is sugar-coated, is stupefying, cause people to only know about prosperity, peace. They know, oh, if they go to heaven, everything will be fine. That is stupefying. That is being a stupor. That is to being in the worldly pleasure. Oh, we need to watchful. We need to rise up, wake up. We need to be delivered from the stupefying effects of the enemy. And be ready is also a process. Students need to prepare for exam. It's not done overnight. They cannot do it overnight. It's daily. It's a daily matter. Preparation in life, the readiness in life, our maturity in life is even more a daily matter. In our message 2, we already saw that how can we daily, yearly be disciplined by the Holy Spirit to have the transformation in life and maturity in life. This is how we prepare ourselves and be ready. When the Lord comes as a master to settle account with us, this settling account is also not a matter of this account is not a matter of day. It's not done overnight. If you have an account that's finished overnight, must be a fake account. If a real account is not done overnight, an account is recorded every day. It's not done overnight. Matthew 24 speaks of faithfulness in service. 25 speaks of being faithful in talents, in dealing with our gifts. The Lord, on the one hand, gives us commission. On the other hand, he gives us gifts. We have no excuse. We have gifts. We have talents. We need to prepare ourselves daily. That is to record your, filling your record. We need to exercise the talents, the gift the Lord has given us to earn interest for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this week, have you earned any profit for the Lord? Any interest? This is how we prepare ourselves. May we be those who filling our record every day so that when the Lord comes, we will be without fear. We will be at peace. Then point 4 and point 5 is, again, a warning is that we should be aware of covetousness, not storing up treasure for ourselves, but being rich toward God. So Luke 12 speak of the rich man. He only cared for his treasure, how to store it up. He thought that he had many more years that he can enjoy these riches. But the Lord said, oh, foolish one, this night I'm requiring your soul from you. So regarding the Lord's coming, on the one hand, that day, that hour, we do not know. On the other hand, even we ourselves, we don't know when we will pass away, when we will go to see the Lord. We don't know, right? David, in his song, Psalm 39:4, he said, oh, Jehovah, cause me to know my end, how transient I am. Oh, you have made my days as mere handbreadth. You know, the parable of the rich man show us that do not store up treasures for yourselves. There was a man, he asked the Lord to settle the riches for him. He said, the life is not in the riches. Those who store up riches for themselves are not rich toward God, are not rich toward God. May we be warned. May we be aware of covetousness, not storing up treasure for ourselves. Point 5 speak of the Lot's wife. We all know this from Genesis 19. You know, the angel took Lot and his wife out of that city that will be destroyed. Then when he brought them out, run, flee, do not turn back. We all know the story. Lot's wife, because of what she loved, still left behind. She turned back and she became a pillar of salt. In Luke 14, that shows that this salt becomes useless. When the salt becomes useless, it is useless in manure pile or in the farm, in the land. To be in manure, to be the land is in the church that is to bring in the kingdom, but it's not fit, does not fit the land. But the manure pile is the speak of, it refers to the lake of fire, the biggest trash can in the universe, but it's not fit because he is a saved one. So he's fit neither. He can only go to the outer darkness. That is to be cut asunder. That is to be the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. So may we remember Lot's wife and be warned by it. Point 6, we need to be watchful and beseeching. Brothers and sisters, when the Bible speaks of watchful, it's always connected to prayer. We need to be watchful and beseeching so that the day of the Lord's coming will not come upon us suddenly as a snare. We need to watchful and beseeching, pray all the time so we may overcome, that we may escape the coming tribulation. Lastly, point 7 is the last prayer of the Bible. Let's read together. Come, Lord Jesus. This should be the longing cry and constant prayer of those who love the Lord and His appearing. Amen. I think I have used up my time. But this is my burden. Point B, let's take a look. May we not be this kind of evil slave beating the believers. You say, I never beat anybody. This point will show you that actually beating means what? Criticizing. Let's read point 1. We should not judge or condemn our fellow believers, but be kind to them, tender-hearted, forgiving them, even as God in Christ forgave us. So this shows us that we should have the proper relationship with all the members of the body. Brother Lee even said in a prayer meeting, sometimes it seems we are praying for people, but our prayer actually had a great portion, element in it, which is judging others, judging, condemning others. Oh, may the Lord save us. Brother Lee often said, many can testify for me that I never criticize, expose anyone to beat them because my burden is just to give them food. If we are busy with giving food, we won't have time. We won't have time to criticize, condemn, beating others. Our brother said, when we see something, we should pray, ask, and give life. This should be the way we behave, how we respond to seeing some situation in the church life, not criticizing, condemning what we see in the church life. Whenever we see something, we should ask and pray and give life. When we see some situation, some difficult situation, we shouldn't condemn them. We should pray, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I do not have enough food. I do not have enough life-giving prayer. Oh, I do not have enough fresh oil. Oh, we need more of this kind of prayer. Point 3 is about being drunken. That is to fall into worldliness and worldly things and become companion with the worldly people. Let's go back to read point 2. We should not revile or criticize our brothers, but consider them more excellent than ourselves. Amen. We need to avoid, but we also should escape, but also pursue. 2 Peter chapter 1 speaks of this also, the cycle of escaping from the lust and partake of the divine nature. The more we escape from our lust, the more we partake of the divine nature, the more we partake of the divine nature, the more we escape the lust. Oh, we should be with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Pursue the Lord. Call on His name. This is how we flee the youthful lust. Then in the coming kingdom, we will have the authority as receive the ruling authority as our reward. Then the evil one will be cut asunder. The faithful, this point D, the faithful and prudent servant will be rewarded with the authority. Point 1, to be cut off from the manifestation of the kingdom, to be cast into the outer darkness where there is weeping, the gnashing of teeth. Point 2, to reign with Christ. Point A, the outer darkness, the darkness outside the bright glory in the manifestation of the kingdom. Point B, weeping indicates regret, and gnashing of teeth indicates self-blame. Brothers and sisters, today in the Lord's recovery, we are so blessed. We have the ministry open the world to us. We have such a rich store of food. But if we don't enjoy this food, we don't minister this food to others, so that His household can be fed, can grow in life, so His body can be built up, so His bride can be beautified and prepared, then on that day, we will really regret. Oh, there's no time. We need to make our lesson for 1,000 years. Point 2, to reign with Christ over the nations in the millennial kingdom will be a prize to His faithful and prudent slaves. Brothers and sisters, let's encourage one another. May we all be those faithful slaves who can receive the reward.